Welcome, pioneers of the future and leaders of today. Step into our holographic sphere of imagination, where ideas get a digital heartbeat and become living entities of success. Standing with you at the heart of this virtual landscape are two stalwarts, your guides for this deep dive into the digital depths of industry titans, Eric and Phil. Eric, a seasoned tech-savvy strategist, and Phil, the mastermind of algorithms and streamlined processes. Together, they help build the towering digital empires you admire, the innovators and disruptors that have set the gold standard in the industry. Now, what if I told you that the very secret that fuels these industry giants are within your reach? That the digitization of ideas, which they masterfully deploy, could be harnessed by you, the fearless pioneers of the SME world? Yes, you heard it right. Here on Burnt Phone Marketing Radio with Eric and Phil, we decode the secret algorithm that's been the silent powerhouse behind the most successful entities. We bring insights from navigating the pulsating data highways and deconstructing technological obstacles. It's not just about dreaming anymore. It's about transforming those dreams into tangible realities. We equip you with the knowledge to make that leap, just as we've done with numerous successful businesses. So prepare for a journey that has the power not just to revolutionize your digital enterprises, but to reshape the very contours of the industry itself. Ladies and gentlemen, with Eric and Phil, let's code your dreams into tomorrow's reality. Welcome to Burnt Phone Marketing Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Burnt Phone Marketing Radio. And we're going through a really, really cool series right now. Phil Brown, my partner on this podcast, actually wrote a book just recently. It's like 7 chapters, super, super simple to read, but it's all about automation. And if you didn't listen to chapter 1, it's about literally why automation rocks. So the last episode, we'll drop it in the show notes so you can link back to the last episode and check out why automation rocks. But today we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to me, like literally. Let's get started and assessing your needs. So a lot of times we don't even look at the importance of what we can do for automation. And if we don't do a high-level overview and assess the needs that we really want to take off our plate, then we're going to run into issues over and over and over again. It will never get systematized if we never look at it at the like they say in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. And if you're not beginning with the end in mind in automation, you're going to run yourself down a rabbit hole that you never will get out of because you don't actually know what you want to automate. So the start to finish, you won't ever know what finishing looks like. So Phil's got a great step-by-step framework that'll show you exactly how to, you know, audit, assess the needs that you want to automate. So that being said, if you haven't downloaded the book already, we're gonna put the link in the show notes so you can download the whole book so you can kind of be in front of us, because this is gonna take about 6 weeks to run through all of these chapters. However, we're gonna be in here, you know, going through each chapter. So you may pick up something that, you know, that you didn't actually hear or see in the chapter as you were reading it. And we'll be here to go over the chapter. So that being said, we're going over chapter 2 of Phil's book, and it's called Let's Get Started Assessing Your Needs. So Phil, take it away, chapter 2.
Yeah, I'll just dive right in. Hopefully everybody's still hungry from the last episode, ready to get into, what do I do next, right? So with this chapter, it's all about figuring out what you need to do next, what can be automated. Assess your needs, right? the thing is, like any other tool, it's only as effective as its application, right? So you can't just automate this, automate that, automate this, and just kind of sprinkle it over haphazardly and expect that everything comes together right. You want to make sure that you do it in a logical and kind of a planned out way to eliminate chaos, because it's not only going to be chaos with you, it's going to be chaos with your employees. So you want to make sure everybody's on the same page, they know what's going on, and you implement it in a logical format. So the way you do that is first you do this with yourself as the company owner, company leader, And then you do it with your employees as you understand what can be automated. You know, my suggestion, get everybody together, go through a whiteboard session. Hey, what kind of things do you repeat? What tasks do you repeat every day? What tasks do you do that you perform in a step-by-step fashion, right? Like if you were to provide these 10 steps and hand it off to somebody that knows nothing about what you do, can they do it? You know, those are tasks that can be automated as well. What are some tasks that are high volume? Like, do you have anything that you do like on a monthly basis that you know you're like, oh God, this is going to take me a whole day to do this because it's end of the month, right? You know, I know a lot of financial people are probably thinking, oh, I know what you're talking about. I can automate the end of the month activities, right? That's one of the things that you can definitely automate with the financials. So you look at those high volume tasks, you look at anything digital, like 90% of what you do on your computer can be automated as long as it's not something like creative, like you're designing a book cover or you're doing graphics for a web page, right? So a lot of the things that you do on your digitally on your systems, on your computers can be automated in some way, shape, or form. Even if you can only automate at 50%, you can still get the system or computer to do some of it for you. So you can kind of get that time back to be more creative in whatever you have to do outside of what the system can be automated for. Once you set this.
Bill, I want to touch base on that, what you said.
Okay.
Yeah, about like whiteboarding the situation. So a lot of times people like do these mundane tasks and they're like, oh, I got to do this again. Oh, I got to do this again. Or they really enjoy it. Like I have to run a sales report and numbers and all this stuff every single week. So that's 52 times a year. And I've had it, you know, I've had to do it for 17 years. I've automated probably 85% of the process just recently. And so a report that used to take me an hour takes me about 12 minutes. And I can get it all done and taken care of in about 12 minutes. I basically bought back just under an hour of my time. And it's not about the automation. It's about like the results that you're looking for. And then the biggest thing that you said was grabbing the team together. So as a leader, as a CEO, as someone in that position, you're empowering your people to save them more time. Literally, you're saying, hey, what are the mundane tasks that you feel like we could drive to some automation? And then what I like to do is like have them create what I like to call the playbook, have them create the automation layout on how it works. And then they have buy-in. And the cool thing about that is once you create that playbook, it's they're owning it, they're having the results from it, and they created it. So you're empowering them as a leader to say, hey, write this out, get this set up for me, and we'll automate the system. So if something ever does happen, somebody has a playbook that literally they could walk through and go and do exactly what you're looking for. Or you can train somebody that's coming in, going out, or even like if that person is moving up in the business, you want to be able to get, you know, fill that position. So literally you can give the person that's coming into that spot that playbook and they can do the exact same thing that they were doing before. Because a lot of times automation is not like you don't set it and it's not like the Runco thing where you set it and forget it. There's some stuff you have to put into it most of the time to get it to go. So, and I know that's kind of in the next section, not in the next chapter, but the next section of this chapter too. So Phil, back to you. I just want to touch base on that.
Well, but that's good because, you know, you touched on something super important in that statement. It's like you get everybody involved because hopefully getting everybody involved lets you understand what should be automated. Because you may come up with a list of 50 items that you think can be automated, but not all of them should be automated, right? And when I say should be automated, I mean, you have to look at those items that you think can be automated and you want to automate and say, okay, what is the value versus complexity, right? You want to say, okay, is this so complex that we need to automate it? Or is this something that we want to leave manual because we want to provide more value in this specific step or this specific task? which, you know, that value may be subjective, right? So you may have to have human thought involved in that, some kind of human creativity that the computer's not going to be able to provide. And that leads into the next part of that is like human touch. Some tasks like handling customer complaints, brainstorming sessions, they need that human element. You've got to sit there. Like you can't automate, what tasks do I automate, right? You have to have somebody thinking about that. Like what is the best thing to automate, right? So that's just a simple example, but you want to make sure that, you know, or understand that machines can't yet think like humans, so they don't have the human intuition, the human creativity, the human empathy. There's no emotions to it, right? So you want to make sure that you still have that human touch. You also, a really important factor, if your company hinges on, high risk tasks, right? You want to make sure that you understand the risk level of any task that you automate and what the repercussions would be if that task automation failed during the month or during the week. So you want to be cautious when you're automating like financial transactions or something where there's a verification mechanism that has to be in place so that you know where to look, right? Because that could break down. You could have the wrong numbers come out just because of a glitch, or the system might shut down and then you're out of luck. So you want to make sure that those risk factors are taken into account.
And that's one thing, Phil, that you do professionally. So you actually take care of those kind of things. So if you're concerned about something like that, like reach out to Phil, because the reason why is reach out to Phil is he's worked with, companies, large companies like NASA and some other companies that we just don't talk about on the here just because we can't. But he's worked with a lot of those companies and he can do a quick overview, maybe set up a call, maybe set up a review for you. So if that's something that you're looking for, reach out to Phil. Like when you're downloading the book, you can actually check out his website and actually book a call with him. So that's just a touch point right there, because if you don't know, you don't know. And a lot of you guys are in that space where, I would love just someone to have the overview and take a look at, some of my automation. And that's exactly what Phil does.
Yeah, and definitely. And we'll have that link in the show notes. And when you grab a copy of the book, you'll notice that you all also have the opportunity to book an appointment with me if you choose to do so. And that leads into this next step, which is the feedback loop, right? The tasks that require dynamic approaches that are constantly evolving, they need feedback. You need to make sure that you provide feedback from yourself. You get your employees' feedback. You can even get external consultants' feedback on what your processes are doing, how you've automated, and how they can be improved. Things evolve. Things change very quickly in the automation space, especially if you're trying to implement automation using AI. As we all know, the AI portion with the advent of ChatGPT last November 2022 has become a popular thing for companies to start really looking hard at and implementing into their business. The next step you'll want to do is you want to take all those things that you've decided are in the can be automated and should be automated bracket. And now you want to map out that process. You want to see, okay, what needs to be done first? How do I need to prioritize that? And a way you can do this is take that list and go, okay, what's done daily? What's done weekly? What are monthly tasks? Use the whiteboard. Use flowcharts, any kind of SOPs, standard operating procedures that you have in place for those items. Bring those out, get them in front of everybody. So, I emphasize whiteboarding. Whiteboarding is really awesome if you can get everybody together and whiteboard it out so that you can make instantaneous adjustments to the workflow, because you may not understand how some of your other employees think about what the workflow actually is, right? So that gives you the opportunity to query everybody, make sure you're understanding what needs to be done first. So you know, you can prioritize and map those prioritized tasks out and understand what automations are going to bring the most immediate benefits to the company.
I want to touch on that because literally I can see, you know, managers and C-suite people, I can see what they're thinking. They're like, I'm going to get all of these people in the room and we're going to discuss this. That's like six, that's like, let's just say you have a staff of 10, that's 10 hours plus yours. That's 10 hours of work in an hour meeting to go through this. But then I also want you to think about this. If every one of those people, everyone on your team automates one task that took them an hour every single week, let's just say every single month, one task that saved them 1 hour every single month, the 10 hours that you was that you spent creating this process just bought back 10 hours every single month in perpetuity. So literally you have 101. Yeah, one task. So you've developed so many hours and so much time just by doing one task. And you know, that 10 hours that you paid them or that they spent doing these one tasks and they buy into it, totally different, way more efficient. And then the crazy thing is like in the next month, it's like, hey, what's the next thing that we can automate? What's the next thing on your plate that you either love or hate to do that you do over and over and over again? And that right there is like just another way to meet with your team and do some feedback, but then also let's add one more thing and you can pick up another 10 hours a month. And if it goes weekly, think about that. Even if that's exponential. So I just want you guys to think about it because I know what you're thinking. Like, I don't want to get people in the room and whiteboard this process out, spend an hour of their time and them not, you know, get the results or understand what the results could be. So just like 10 people, you could pick up 120 hours in a year.
You could potentially be pulling back a ton of hours, a ton of time, right? You know, if you're the owner of the company, think about how much an hour of your employees' time costs. And just imagine if each employee gained an hour back a week for each employee to work on something more meaningful and creative than mundane tasks, how much better, more profitable, and more efficient your company is going to be, right? You know, some of the things that you have to take into consideration when you prioritize cost versus benefit, you gotta look at how much does it cost now as opposed to the benefit of cutting that time in half or taking 75% of that time back and only, you know, the task only takes 25% of the time now, right? Also look at the ease of implementation. How easy is it going to be to implement this, right? So you want to prioritize and make sure that you're taking into consideration which ones can be done the quickest and the easiest to get you on the right track. And also to get all the employees that may not be fully on board with this process, because sometimes
and a little bit of buy-in.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you need to get your team on board, and it's definitely a cultural shift, right? We're human beings. We don't like change, right? So when you pose a change and somebody looks at it as, oh, they're taking work away from me because now I don't have to do this anymore, then they feel fear that you're not going to need them in the company anymore. So make sure you talk to them and tell them, this is not the reason. We're not doing this so that we can cut back on employees. We're doing this so that you can do more meaningful work mm-hmm. for the company. And we want you to be a bigger part of the company's direction and the company's bigger picture and the company's mission, right? We don't want you to have to do these menial tasks that are repetitive and you don't need to be doing all day when you can be doing something much more important for the company, something that's more inside of your skill set, which is what, you know, you hired your employee for, right? You hired them to do a specific job or a position. You didn't hire them to do repetitive tasks all day long, because that doesn't make you money in the end, right? Right. At least not as much money as it could.
Yeah, 100%.
At the end of this chapter, I put two cool activities, right? So there's one called the automation grid that you can kind of get everybody involved in this identify and prioritize process. And there's also a process mapping party. Like you can bring everybody together. You do fun activities with the whiteboards, the markers, colored sticky notes, all this stuff, and kind of help them understand and visualize what this process is going to be and what it's going to look like in the end.
Right. And I like what you did there, is because it's more of a team effort, team bonding. Because a lot of times people are like, well, another meeting and another meeting. So this is important to not only be a better leader, but also show your employees where you're going, what the vision is, reiterate your vision, your values, and all of that. So that way, you know, they're on board again. And, you know, when they're involved in this sticky note process, this brainstorming process, this mastermind process, they become more engaged and then more involved. And then also more, they have more ownership in the process that they're building out. So that's a huge thing. And that's a leadership thing. Chapter three, I'm excited about, Phil. I was just looking at it, choosing the right tools. Your automation arsenal. That's the chapter that we're going to be going over on the next episode. So again, if you got value from this and you're seeing like, there is a way for me to automate, there is a way for me to deliver this to my team, and there is a way to deliver to my team where they do most of the automation. I said it on the last episode, 80% done by somebody else is 100% awesome. I mean, think about the people that are actually creating these tasks, these playbooks, these automations for their own, for their job that they're doing right now. And, you know, they're going to be able to document how that works. So that way the process is documented for you. So that's a huge thing. I'm excited for Automate Your Arsenal. If you have not downloaded the book yet, the URL that you're going to want to go to is automate.blupit.com. You'll have to put your email address in so Phil can speak to you or, you know, reach out to you. You'll be on Phil's list. And then the next page, you can download the book right there. Quick, very simple. It's a very quick read. And it's something that if you're into automation, if you're thinking, is there something I could automate? Or maybe I'm a little scared to automate, or I'm an automation aficionado. There's always just a little thing that you can pull back and grab. And like I said during the episode, if you are one of those C-suite or business owners that do financial type things and stuff like that, or would just like Phil to do a quick overview of some of the automations or maybe give you some ideas, we can set up a quick call with Phil. And you know, there's a process to that. However, we would love to get on a call and help our audience a little bit more. So that being said, thanks, Phil. We will catch you on the next episode of Burnt Phone Marketing Radio. See you then.
Imagine an exclusive one-day assessment tailored to transform your company into an automation powerhouse. It's not just any ordinary assessment. It's a game-changing blueprint that will propel your business toward 100% automation. Our exclusive assessment will uncover the path to unparalleled automation. Say goodbye to mundane tasks and unlock new levels of efficiency and growth. Don't miss this opportunity to revolutionize your company. Book a call now to secure your spot for an assessment. Let's code your dreams into tomorrow's reality and begin this transformative journey today.